Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. In your Scofield Bible, page 1017. Matthew, chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 44, 45, and 46. These three verses, and we'll read the verses in unison. And as we always do, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. All right, let's read. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come back here on Sunday night. For most of us here, the day just wouldn't be complete if we couldn't come back on Sunday night. And we're thankful for the Sunday evening service. We look forward to it. We revel in the fact that you've done so much for this church through the Sunday night services. Many a person has surrendered to thy will here in the Sunday night services. Many of folk have been saved. It's just a wonderful time for the family of God. We pray that you'd meet with us once again tonight. We're a family. We feel at home here. So bless those of us of the family, but bless those who meet with us, those who are visiting with us, and help that all of us together would know thy presence and power in a very special way. Please meet the needs of our preacher as he comes to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to open your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to teach you something tonight from the Bible, and then I'm going to preach to you a very, very simple kind of message and yet a very important message. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the most important thing in the Christian life. The most important thing in the Christian life. Our Heavenly Father, help me as I speak tonight. I pray that you'd help our people as they listen, and all of us as we respond to thy truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your Bibles open there and look this way. We'll come to it in a few minutes. What is the most important thing in a Christian life? Somebody took a poll of Christians across the country, and especially of pastors. The top thing on the Christian life, the most important thing, they said was prayer. Right behind that, they said the most important thing was Bible reading and Bible study. Right behind that, they said the most important thing was love. And then they listed all the things they thought were the most important things in the Christian life. I'm going to shock you right now. I do not believe the most important thing in the Christian life is prayer. Nor do I believe the most important thing in the Christian life is Bible reading or Bible study. Nor do I believe the most important thing in the Christian life is love. And this will really shock you. I do not believe the most important thing in the Christian life is soul winning. Tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject, what is the most important thing in the Christian life. Now to Matthew chapter 13, look at it, verse number 44, just the one verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven, I want you to look at it now. You don't have a Bible, look at your neighbor's Bible. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he found the treasure, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now close your Bibles and look at me and let me explain what that teaches. All kinds of interpretations. Please just close your Bibles now and let me just talk to you about what that teaches. Hear me? The 44th verse, the 13th chapter of Matthew, as well as the 45th and 46th verses and others, have all kinds of interpretations advanced. Most of them the sort of spooky. None more ridiculous than the ones Mr. Schofield has in his notes. Mr. Schofield was a Plymouth Brethren, and many of his notes are absolutely ridiculous, and the most ridiculous of all his notes are found, in my opinion, concerning the parables, some of the parables in Matthew chapter 13. Now I want you to notice carefully to me what this verse means. Without your turning to it, I want you to listen to it as I read it again, and listen very carefully. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, now he found the treasure, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. I want you to notice he bought the treasure, but he also bought the field the treasure was in. Don't forget that. I will make several statements. Number one, he bought the treasure. That's us. Jesus bought us. Ephesians 1:14, we are called his purchased possession. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it as white as snow. He paid the price for me. He bought me. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18 and following, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Somebody said, it's my business what I do. You got a hole in your head. No. Well, it's my life. No, it's not your life. You're bought with a price. Jesus bought you with a price. You're not your own. So he bought us. First statement I want to make about that little parable where a fellow found a treasure in a field. He bought the treasure. And then he found it, he hid it, and then he bought the field, so sold all that he had, and he bought the field. First thing I want to say is he bought the treasure. Second thing I want to say is our souls are then secure. He bought us. John 10:27 and following says that Jesus holds us in his hand, and no man can pluck us out of his hand. Jesus said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. So I'm held in the hand, when I got saved, I'm held in the hand of Jesus Christ, and the Heavenly Father puts his hand on top of me, and Jesus puts his hand under me. And the hand of Almighty God, the omnipotent God, in the hand of his Son Jesus, hold my soul. I can't lose it. Can't lose it. Him that cometh me, I will in no wise cast out, the Bible says. Can't lose it. It's a gift of God. You can't lose a gift. I said, number one, he bought the treasure. That's me. Number two, my soul or our souls are secure. Now listen carefully to me. I'm going to teach you something. But God does not want just your soul. He wants your life. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. But there's a 10th verse there too. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained to those that walk in them. Now, what I'm saying is that God not only wants your soul, he wants your life. I told the fellows a while ago, the thing about this book, it's inexhaustible in its truth. I've never noticed in Colossians 3:3 it says, our lives are hid, it says your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I've always thought that meant that your soul was hid with Christ in God. But it doesn't say that. It says your life is hid with Christ in God. That means Jesus not only wanted your soul or your spirit, he wanted your life. And by the way, he bought your life on the cross, and so you're not your own, you're bought with a price. You young people say, I'm going to do my thing. You have no right to do your thing. In fact, one of the most wicked things you'll ever do is your thing. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. His own way. Satan said to Eve, eat this fruit. And you can decide what's good and evil. You can be as God, and you, God, and you yourselves can determine what's good and evil. No, sir, that book, God, through that book, determines what's good and evil. Now, follow me carefully. He bought the treasure. Ephesians 1:14, we are his purchased possession. Our souls, and I say souls meaning spirit, but we use the word soul. I don't think it's a transgression of truth. Our souls are secure. I said number three, but he does not want to lose our lives. Number four, now get this. So he purchases not just the treasure, but he purchases the field the treasure's in. Now, why does he purchase the field where the treasure's in? He doesn't just take that little treasure and say, I'm purchasing that treasure and stick it there in the field. He said, I'm going to purchase all this whole field. I'm going to guard the field as well as the treasure. For if I can guard the field, I can keep the treasure safer. Now then, what is the field? I wish Mr. Schofield had talked to me before he'd written those dumb notes in the Schofield Bible. If I could talk to him 5 minutes, he wouldn't have put that in there. He'd have put what I'm going to tell you. You say, you smarter than Schofield? Probably. But I'm smarter on this issue than Schofield. Now follow me carefully. Jesus said that he bought the treasure. And then he sold all that he had. And he bought the field the treasure's in. Let me read you a verse. Don't miss this. Paul is talking to the elders in Ephesus. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. Now get this. To feed the church of God, that's this group right here, which he hath purchased with his own blood. All right? I'm the treasure. He puts me in a field that he also purchases so he may salvage my life as well as my soul. So, I said, number one, he bought the treasure. Number two, our souls are secure. That's what he bought. Number three, he does not want to lose our lives. Number four, so he purchases the field that the treasure's in. Number five, this field is the church. You say, is it the true church or the local church? There's only one church. That's the local church. No such thing in the Bible as the universal church. No such thing in the Bible as the invisible church. There's only one church, and that's the local church. So God said, I'm going to purchase the souls and redeem the souls of the people. That's my treasure. And then I'm going to put my people inside a church and buy the church too, in order that I may not only save the souls of my people, but save the lives of my people. So he owns the property around it so he can safeguard the treasure. Now follow me. The church, and I hate to even say local church, because there's no other church at all besides the local church. But the church is a world within a world. Listen to me now. It's a world within a world. It is a world that God has placed within a world to create an atmosphere conducive to the Christian life so that your life cannot be lost. I'm talking to folks tonight. You're saved. Jesus purchased your salvation. You're God's child. You've trusted him. And your soul is saved. And bless God, the devil can't get it. But I'm also talking to folks tonight. The devil can't get your soul, but as soon as he realizes he can't get your soul, he'll work on your life. Because if he can get your life, thereby he gets the souls of those that your life could have reached for God. This is the weakness of Youth for Christ. Youth for Christ tells you about Jesus purchasing a treasure, but they leave that little treasure out there by itself and don't put it in the field. You say, are you against preaching the gospel? I'm for anybody preaching the gospel. I'm for a sign out beside the highway that says Jesus saves. I'm for a rock that has painted on the rock, you must be born again. I'm for the guy that holds that sign up sometimes at athletic events that says John 3:16. I'm for that. But I am 1,000 times more for buying more than just the treasure. I'm 1,000 times more when you get the treasure, put that treasure in a church so the church can nurture and create an atmosphere so not only can the soul of the treasure be saved, but the life of the treasure can be saved. That's the weakness of campus crusades. Campus crusades are after the treasure, but they're not interested in the field. That's the weakness of non-church organizations that are soul-winning. I'm not against it. But good night, why in the world, if you're going to buy the treasure, buy the whole field. Don't buy the treasure and stick it out there where everybody can get it. That's why people saved in liberal churches ought to get out of the liberal churches. Get in a field. Jesus, I read it a while ago, take heed thereunto that ye purchase the church of God, that ye feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased my soul with his own blood. He also purchased the field with his own blood, where I may be nurtured, I may grow, my life can count for God. And by the way, that's why the church is the most important thing in the Christian life. It's the church that keeps you praying. It's the church that keeps you in the Bible. It's the church that keeps you soul winning. It's the church that tells you you ought to love. I'm saying the things you ought to do that these people voted most important things in the Christian life, you will not keep on doing them unless you are in the field that God has bought and purchased so you can be saved, not only your soul, but your Christian life. That's why a Christian shouldn't go to a heathen state university. He's a treasure, but not in the field. He's vulnerable. There's this little treasure sitting there with a bunch of heathen. There's this little treasure sitting there listening to professors say this book is not God's book. There's a little treasure sitting there listening to evolution being taught. There's this little treasure sitting there listening to professors say there's no such thing as the virgin birth of Christ. And that's why that no Christian ought to go to a liberal college, a liberal seminary, a secular university. You're saved. But God purchased for you an institution called the church, and that's why every time the hinges squeak back there, you ought to be inside this building. Sunday morning you ought to be here. Sunday night you ought to be here. Wednesday night you ought to be in church. I'm simply saying that the church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 20:28, as well as purchasing the treasure. He wanted your soul, and he's going to keep it. He wants your life. And so he says, you put your life smack dab in the middle of a local, independent, old-fashioned, hellfire and brimstone, New Testament Baptist church, so your life can be saved also. That's why you shouldn't roam with the wrong crowd. That's why when you get saved, you'll change crowds. So, I said, number one, he bought the treasure. Are you listening? I said, number two, our souls are secure. We are the treasure. I said, number three, he does not want to lose our lives. I said, number four, so he purchases the field the treasure's in. I said, number five, this is the church, Acts 20:28. And you'll never understand Matthew 13:44 till you understand Acts 20:28. So he owns the property around you so he can safeguard the treasure. The world is the church is a world within a world, creating an atmosphere conducive to the Christian life. Number seven, so we're to live our lives in the field. Did you hear what I said? We're to live our lives in the field. We started at Hammond Baptist Schools back yonder 26, 27 years ago. Had our first commencement. Hammond Times, God bless them. No, not. They sent a reporter here. Think he's a male. He had a beard. Hair on the back side like a woman, front side like a man. I don't understand these reporters. If they're going to go to church, they ought to put a suit and tie on and look like Christian people and don't look like they're just got through digging a ditch. I just thought I'd say that. He put in the Hammond Times a statement about like this. He said, a bunch of clean-cut, well-scrubbed young people graduated from Hammond Baptist High School. But he said he wonders what's going to happen when they get out in the world. And I said to him, bless God, we don't expect our young folks to get out in the world. We expect the membership of First Baptist Church of Hammond to build their lives around First Baptist Church of Hammond. So, we have provided a large field here at First Baptist. We have provided a school where you can enroll your child in kindergarten at age 4 if you choose. Or age 5 if you choose. You can keep that child in grade school till he's in the 7th grade and put him in our junior high school. Put that child in our junior high school till he's in the 9th grade, put him in our high school. Put him in our high school till he graduates, put him in our college. Put him in our college till he gets his bachelor's degree and put him back in our college. He can graduate with a master's degree and never get outside the property of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now look, I'm not mad at you, I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm not trying to be unkind to you, but you are foolish to let your children go to these public schools. Jesus didn't purchase Hammond High, he purchased the church. I'm not trying to be unkind. If you don't agree with me, I'll still love you, but I'm going to preach the truth if I lose every one of you. I'm saying, Jesus purchased your soul, he also purchased the field, and the field is the church that Jesus has established where you can rear your family and build your life, have your amusements, have your fun, and build your whole life around the local New Testament church. That's what the youth activity is all about. You don't have to go outside the First Baptist Church to go to a basketball game. You don't have to go outside the First Baptist Church to go to a fair. You don't have to go outside the First Baptist Church to go to a science fair. You don't have to go outside the First Baptist Church to find you a club. How about the Foster Club, Soul Winning Club? How about the WMS circles, missionary circles? You have to go to some stupid little pink tea and lemonade club, some little flower club to learn how to raise petunias. Go to the Missionary Society circle and get in a club that's interested in getting missed people saved on the foreign field. That's what our little league... You don't have to join the world's little leagues. We have our own. You have to join the world's softball leagues. We have our own intramural church softball league. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, that if you do not stay in a local New Testament church, eventually the devil, bless God, will never get your soul, but he'll get your life. John 15:16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should bring forth fruit, that's soul winning, and that your fruit should remain. Bring forth fruit, that's the treasure. Fruit remaining, that's the field. That's the church. The Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, that's the treasure. Next verse, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, that's the field. God said, don't get out here and get somebody saved and leave them in a field somewhere. Don't get in a campus crusade or youth for Christ and get out here in a public school somewhere and get people saved. He said, get yourself in a church. And I'll say this again. The greatest youth for Christ in the world is the youth program at an old-fashioned, independent, soul-winning Baptist church. I'm not opposed to soul-winning, but if you're going to go, get out of the coach section, get up there in the first-class section, and buy the field as well as the treasure. Boy, that's good. I was a boy. I was an athlete. You can imagine, one look at me and you can tell. I went out for baseball. The pitch, Adamson High School. 2,000 students nearly, over 1,900 students. Over 300 in my graduating class. I made the baseball team, but I quit it. Say, why did you quit the baseball team? I quit it because it was not in the field. I quit it because I felt like I could not be the kind of testimony I should be for God. Listen to all the filth and garbage I had to put up with. Doc Hensley, who was a baseball coach, came to me and said, Jack, you have a future in baseball, and the Brooklyn Dodgers offered me to sign a contract to be a part of the organization, try to work my way up the major leagues. I turned down the contract. I turned down the baseball team. I quit the baseball team, got in the church softball league. Why? Tell you why? I wanted my life to count as well as my soul to be saved. And I wanted not only my soul to be hid, I wanted my life to be hid with Christ and God. I was a basketball player. Went out for basketball. Coach told me I could make the team. As a sophomore, I could make the squad. He said, by the time you're a senior, you'll start. I quit the basketball team. I say, why did you quit the basketball team? Because I knew my life would not count for God. Now, you listen to me, folks. You let your kids hang around this cussing crowd, they'll be cussing. You let your kids hang around this rock music crowd, they'll be listening to rock music. You let your kids hang around this sex craze crowd, they'll become involved. You say, well, my kids are different and they'll not be influenced. Is your child a better Christian than Abraham was? Abraham went down to Egypt, but Abraham was influenced by Egypt, ended up fathering an illegitimate child. Your kids better Christians than Lot, the righteous man who vexed his righteous soul in Sodom, but ended up fathering children by his own two daughters because he got in the wrong crowd? Are your kids better than Elimelech and Naomi, who went down to Moab and stayed 10 years? Their kids married heathen young people. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, not because I'm mad at you. I love you. You get your family in a local old-fashioned church. Jesus bought the souls of men. He also bought the field so you could guard your soul. So I went back to my church. I quit the high school basketball team. Organized the basketball team in our church. Called it the Trinity Heights Independents. Every year, the high schools of Dallas, had six high schools then, had a YMCA Christmas basketball tournament. I went down to YMCA, and our church team was allowed to play the public schools in the YMCA basketball tournament. We didn't win the tournament. We did win one game and lost the second game. But I'll brag a little bit. I was chosen on the all-tournament team of all the high schools in Dallas, Texas. You didn't say, ooh. Let me say it again. You were so stunned and so impressed you couldn't speak. You're speechless. I said to all six Dallas schools, Sunset High School, Adamson High School, North Dallas High School, Woodrow Wilson High School, Forest Avenue High School, and Crozier Technical High School, all played in the tournament, and Trinity Heights Independence, the Hillcrest Baptist Church team played in the tournament, and though we only won one game and lost one, I said, I made the all-tournament team. I said, I made the all-tournament team. I said, I made the all-tournament team. You see, I wanted my basketball playing to be inside the field. I wanted my baseball to be inside the field. I wonder where I'd be today if I'd have signed that contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers. I wonder what would happen in my life. I dare say I'd never preach the gospel, by the way. That's why I'm not impressed with George Foreman, the preacher. Or Reggie White, the preacher. If you're going to be a preacher, get off the football team, get back in the field, and get busy doing something for God.
Jesus purchased the church for you with his own blood. If he thought enough of it to sell all he had and purchase his own blood, you ought to think enough of it to live inside of it.
Let me read you a verse. Psalm 122:9. Get this verse. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. The psalmist said, the reason I do good is because the house of God reminds me to do good. It was at the house of God I learned to read the Bible. It was at the house of God I was taught to pray. It was at the house of God I was taught to win souls. It was at church I was taught to love. It was at church I was taught how to be saved. It was at church I was saved. It was at church I was baptized. It was at church I learned the Lord's Prayer. It was at church I learned the Beatitudes. It was at church I learned the 23rd Psalm. It was at church I learned the 100th Psalm. It was at church I learned the 10 Commandments. It was at church I found that church I found that Jesus loves me. It was at church where I found the will of God for my life. It was at church where I was taught character and how to work hard and be honest. It was at church where I was taught to tithe. It was at church where I was taught to be generous and to give. It was at church where I was taught to be separated from the world. There's not an institution in this whole city trying to keep you from drinking outside the church. There's not an institution in this whole city trying to keep your kids from listening to dirty, satanic, filthy, godless, sorry, putrid, stinking rock music except the local church. It was at the church I met my wife. At the church I was married. At the church I surrendered to preach. At the church I was licensed to preach. At the church I was ordained to preach. Who spends $2 million a year to reach ghetto children? The church here. Who spends thousands of dollars to reach fallen men? First Baptist Church. Who goes to the streets to help the homeless? First Baptist Church. Who spends hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to keep a bus kid school open, to educate bus kid ghetto kids? The church, First Baptist Church, does. Who cares about the souls of the sailors in Great Lakes? The First Baptist Church does. Who reaches out to blind people in the area? The First Baptist Church does. Who cares for the educable soul, retarded people? Who cares? The First Baptist Church does. Who cares for the widows indeed? The First Baptist Church does. Who has a food room for the hungry? The First Baptist Church does. Who has a clothing room for the cold? The First Baptist Church does. Who cares for the shut-ins and hospital patients? The First Baptist Church does. Tell me another institution trying to keep your child pure. Name it. I guarantee it's not Hammond High. I guarantee it's not Munster High. I guarantee it's not Whiting High or Lake Central High or Morton High. I guarantee you, brother, it's the Church of Jesus Christ purchased his own blood trying to keep your kids pure. Tell me another institution trying to keep you from alcohol. Tell me another institution trying to keep your loved ones from going to hell and burning forever. Tell me another institution trying to make your children have character and decency. Tell me another institution except First Baptist Church of Hammond that's trying to, in this area, trying to teach your kids how to dress when they go to school. If you've been to the zoo and want to see something more stupid looking than the animals, go to one of these public schools and watch them go in the mornings. You want to live for others, be faithful to the house of God. If you want to read this book, you let some man get up here and scream at you 3 times a week and remind you ought to read it. If you want to pray, you set yourself down in the middle of a church like this, let some man get up here and scream at you 3 times a week and tell you you ought to spend time in prayer. If you want to be unselfish, you let some man get up here and tell you ought not to live for yourself, but you ought to live for others. It's the field that safeguards the treasure. We hear the story about Lee Robertson in a Sunday school class being taught by a lady named Daisy Hawes. And Daisy Hawes was used of God to reach the great Lee Robertson for Jesus Christ. And where was this? In a church. We hear about a 15-year-old lad going into a building on a Sunday morning during a snowstorm. The storm was so bad the pastor couldn't even get there, and a deacon stood up, board member stood up and preached to 15 people. He preached on "Look to Jesus and be saved." Sitting up in the gallery, there was a young 15-year-old lad. And the lay preacher said, "Look to Jesus, look to Jesus." That young man up there, "Look to Jesus." And a 15-year-old boy named Charles Haddon Spurgeon walked the aisle and received Christ as his Savior. Where'd that happen, church? Read about Mr. Kimball in a Boston shoe store, winning Dwight L. Moody to Jesus Christ. Who was Mr. Kimball's Sunday school teacher in a church? I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia. Young man was there that never won a soul to Christ, had a church with 20 members. Life was totally transformed. Built the biggest church in the state of Georgia. His name was Curtis Hudson. Where'd this happen? The church. Antioch Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia. I taught soul winning 35 years ago. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Young man was there that never won a soul to Christ. After I taught soul winning, he went out and won his first soul to Jesus Christ and started the church and built the biggest Baptist church in North Carolina, probably the biggest church in North Carolina. What's his name? Bobby Robertson. Where'd all this happen? Tabernacle Baptist Church, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I spoke in Springfield, Missouri, a bunch of college students from a Christian college. I don't mean Christian like we are. I mean Christian like denomination. They heard about me and they drove over from Joplin, Missouri to hear me preach. They came up and I signed their Bibles after the service, these young men. One of these young men decided to come to Howells Anderson College, though his father was a pastor of a Christian church. And his father was the announcer on a nationwide Christian radio broadcast. He came to Howells Anderson College. His name was Rick Martin, and the rest is legend. Where'd all this happen? New Testament Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. It was a tiny building. 19 members. One piano player. She could play one song. One telephone, the entire church family, and the guy that had it was deaf and couldn't hear it ring. One car in the entire church family, one outdoor toilet in the entire church family, and no indoor toilets. Let your imagination run wild on that one. Mrs. Howells and I drove up on Sunday morning or Saturday night from our little apartment in Marshall, Texas, and we'd get there early Sunday morning and build a fire, chase the woodpeckers out of the church and chase the yellow jackets out of the wood stove and build a fire. Go out and ring the old bell. What time did Sunday school start? Started 15 minutes after the bell rang. Ring the old rusty bell. Here they'd come. Tractors, horseback, wagons, and one Model A Ford. First Lord's Supper we had. 19 people took the Lord's Supper. We had 2 woodpeckers got loose in the church building. Wood Armstrong and the only deacon I had, and I got brooms and fought those woodpeckers. Stood up on the pews, stood up on the Lord's Supper table, chased those woodpeckers while the juice was tottering there. They called me as pastor of that little church. I got a camera, went out, and took a picture of it. I got a little can of paint about that big and a watercolor brush. And underneath where it said Morris Chapel Baptist Church, I painted Jack Hiles, pastor. I got my camera and took a picture. My name is pastor of that church. I'm in love with the local church. I'm in love with the New Testament church. I was called to pastor the Grange Hall Baptist Church, that very building that you see out there on the campus now. Country church. Then to the Southside Baptist Church of Henderson, Texas. And then the great Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. And now for 37 and a half years, the great First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. went to school the next morning after the Morris Chapel Baptist Church called me. Drove back through the night, Miss Howe sticking her head out of the car because I couldn't turn the lights on. She stuck her head out of the car and looked carefully. If we saw anything in front, we turned the lights on because the lights were on while we drove. The generator wouldn't work and the battery would go dead. One night we came upon a wagon of people, didn't have any tail lights or reflectors. She didn't see them. We almost killed 15 people that night. We drive back home. The next morning I went to pastoral theology class, talked with the president of the college, H.D. Bruce. I was sitting over here on the front row right there. Not right there, but that spot in that building. College had about 700 students. 200 of us were preacher boys. Dr. Bruce met with all the 200 for what we called it Bruceology. It's nothing more than pastoral theology. Dr. Bruce always started off Monday morning saying, "Fellas, give a report what you did Sunday, yesterday." Those of us who preached somewhere would stand up and tell Dr. Bruce where we preached, what kind of service we had. I was the first one. He said, "Mr. Howe," I sat there on purpose because I want to be first. I'd just been called yesterday to pastor the Morris Chapel Baptist Church. I stood up. He said, "Mr. Howe, did you preach yesterday?" I said, "Yes, sir, Dr. Bruce." I said, "Yesterday I was called to pastor a little church up in the country, Morris Chapel." He said, "Sit down, Mr. Howe." I said, "Why?" He said, "Sit down." I sat down. He said to the fellow beside me, "What'd you do?" He gave his report. He didn't tell him to sit down. He went through all 200 of those students, everybody that preached the day before, and sat down nobody but me. I was thrilled to death. I was pastor of a New Testament Baptist Church. I even wrote myself a letter, addressed it to 2007 North Franklin, Reverend Jack House, pastor, Morris Chapel Baptist Church, because I wanted the postman to find out I was a pastor. Got through with the class. I said, "Dr. Bruce, why did you sit me down?" And Dr. Bruce looked at me and taught me a lesson I'll never forget. He said, "Mr. Hiles, you said a while ago that God had called you to pastor, or you'd been called to pastor a little church up in the country." He said, "Mr. Hiles, for your information, there are no little churches." And I said, "Dr. Bruce, let me make my testimony again." I said, "Yesterday I was called to pastor a great big church up in the country with 19 members. And one lady could play one song on the piano. I love the church. I love it because Jesus himself purchased my soul on Calvary and shed his blood to buy me. I love it because he not only bought me, but he bought the field also. He bought the field I was in. Why? He purchased my soul to save my soul. He purchased the field to save my life." Don't miss anything. You build your life around the church. You educate your children around the church. You get your education around the church. You have your amusements around the church. You have your fun around the church. You have your social life around the church. He purchased it. You stay in the field. Thank God. Praise God. Glory to God for the field as well as for the treasure. Would you bow your heads, please?